Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3, Text Number 11. Chapter entitled, Yamaraj Instructs His Messengers. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, thus, having been questioned, Lord Yamaraj, the supreme controller of the living entities, was very pleased with his order carriers because of hearing from them the holy name of Narayana. He remembered the lotus feet of the Lord and began to reply. Purport. Srila Yamaraj, the supreme controller of the living entities, in terms of their pious and impious activities, was very pleased with his servants because they had chanted the holy name of Narayana in his dominion. Yamaraj has to deal with men who are all sinful and who can hardly understand Narayana. Consequently, when his order carriers uttered the name of Narayana, he was extremely pleased, for he is also a Vaishnava. Ananda Prabhu has requested that I will chant the next text also. So I will chant text 12 and read the purport. Yama uvacha paro mad anyo jagatas tatushta sacha otam protam patavadyata vishvam yad angshatos yastiti janmanasha nashiota vadyasya vashicha lokaha. Translation. Yamaraj said, my dear servants, you have accepted me as the supreme, but factually I am not. Above me and above all the other demigods, including Indra and Chandra, is the one supreme master and controller. The partial manifestations of his personality are Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, who are in charge of the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this universe. He is like the two threads that form the length and breadth of a woven cloth. The entire world is controlled by him, just as a bull is controlled by a rope in its nose. Purport. The order carriers of Yamaraj suspected that there was a ruler even above Yamaraj. To eradicate their doubts, Yamaraj immediately replied, yes, there is one supreme controller above everything. Yamaraj is in charge of some of the moving, living entities, namely the human beings. But the animals who are also moving are not under his control. Only human beings have consciousness of right and wrong. And among them, only those who perform sinful activities come under the control of Yamaraj. Therefore, though Yamaraj is a controller, he is only a departmental controller of a few living entities. There are other demigods who control many other departments, but above them all is one supreme controller, Krishna. Ishvara Paramakrishna Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. The supreme controller is Krishna. Others who control their own departments in the affairs of the universe are insignificant in comparison to Krishna, the supreme controller. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mattaparthanam nanyat kinchit asti dananjaya. My dear Dananjaya Arjuna, no one is superior to me. Therefore, Yamaraj immediately cleared away the doubts of his assistants, the Yama Dutas. By confirming that there is a supreme controller above all others. Srila Madhvacharya explains that the words otam protam refer to the cause of all causes. The Supreme Lord is both vertical and horizontal. Otam protam means vertical and horizontal. To the cosmic manifestation. The Supreme Lord is both vertical and horizontal to the cosmic manifestation. This is confirmed by the following verse from Skanda Purana. Yatakanta pata sutra otapantas chasastitaha evam vaishnavidam vishvam otam protam chasamstitam. Like the two threads, horizontal and vertical, of which a quilt is manufactured, Lord Vishnu is situated as the vertical and horizontal cause of the cosmic manifestation. Panchakalpa turubhascha kripa sindubhihi vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So, again, I wish to offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of our disciplic succession, to my eternal spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, who has given me transcendental life, spiritual life, and to his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who ordered Srila Prabhupada to distribute Krishna consciousness to the world at large. And specifically, he requested Srila Prabhupada to, if he ever got any money, to print books. So this order of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur became the primary instruction and direction to Srila Prabhupada to shape his preaching mission. His disciples have learned from Srila Prabhupada this method of preaching. So I also offer my respectful obeisances unto the feet of my very dear godbrother, Srila Harikesh Vishnupad, who has so nicely embraced this instruction of Srila Prabhupada, and also to the feet of my dear godbrother, Rohini Sutta Prabhu, who has similarly taken this instruction as his life and soul. And I also offer my obeisances to the grand disciples of Srila Prabhupada, headed by Harinamananda Prabhu, Navina Niradana Prabhu, and all the other Sankirtan devotees here who have received this instruction from their spiritual masters and are dedicated their life to fulfilling it. It is a great pleasure to be in this temple. I think it is the most Krishna conscious temple of all because it is so much absorbed in the mood of Sankirtan. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are so much present here because everyone is so entirely dedicated to performing Sankirtan. So I pray to all of you to be allowed to be of some service to you, and please keep me always as an object of your mercy. So, here we are in the court of Yamaraj. Now we will go to the court of Yamaraj, from Sankirtanpur to the court of Yamaraj, where Yamaraj is sitting in judgment, and he judges the conditioned souls. Which conditioned souls? Srila Prabhupada points out, not all, but specifically the human beings. And which human beings? Especially those who are sinful. So, now you have got a new book for distribution. What is that book called? Say it again. Which means? Facing Death. Yes. So, in this book, Facing Death, which you are distributing now, I heard that Harinamananda Prabhu said that if they only read two or three pages, they'll practically be scared out of their bodies. Because they will get to see what it is like to face death. People do not like to think about death. They try to cover it. When someone becomes old and dying, they ship him away to an old age home where they don't have to think about him. And as far as death goes for the individual, they fill him up with tubes, pumping in drugs, so that he does not have to know what is happening. But whether they do this or not will not stop the Yamadutas, who will be waiting for them, just like hungry wolves. And when they see these Yamadutas, it will be a very fearful sight. It was reported to me by one doctor who saw many people dying that generally he noticed that when people die, they pass stool and urine in their beds. And the reason why they do this is very clearly described in the Bhagavatam, that they are seeing the Yamadutas. And being in such intense fear, they pass stool and urine. Just like an animal, when it becomes fearful, does the same. So those who are very sinful, who have to see the horrible faces of these Yamadutas, the same thing happens to them. Paradukaduki kripam buddhi. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Chaitanya's followers do not like to see the conditioned souls suffer. And therefore, they are acting in such a way to distribute some relief to these sinful persons. How? In the form of giving them a chance to have contact with devotional life. Because it is said later on in this chapter, text 31, very nice text, Tasmat Sankirtana Vishnur Jagan Mangalam Anghasam Mahatam Apikoravya Vidhi Aikantikat Niskritam. My dear king, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is able to uproot even the reactions of the greatest sins. Therefore, the chanting of the Sankirtan movement is the most auspicious activity in the entire universe. Please try to understand this so that others will take it seriously. So nice. Sukadeva Goswami saying, please try to understand this, my dear Parikshit Maharaj, because you are a great person. Mahajana yena katha sapanda. You are a Mahajan. Yadyaracharati shrestas tatat devetara ojanaha sa yat paramam kurute lokas taranuvartate. Because you are a great man. Whatever you do, others will follow. If you take this Sankirtan movement seriously, then certainly others will do the same. Similarly, because Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada took this order so seriously of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalua Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata, Amarai Gara Guru Hare Tare Desh, Yare Deke Tare Kaha Krishna Upadesh. Taking this order of Lord Chaitanya, that wherever you go, whoever you meet, you simply give them Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Give them this transcendental knowledge. And because we are taking this seriously, so there will be some benefit. Because these great personalities have done it, so we are doing it. Otherwise, we would not know the importance. If Prabhupada had not stressed book distribution so much, we would not be so fixed on doing it. And therefore, he repeatedly stressed it again and again as the most important activity. He said, even you can close the doors of the temple so that everyone can go out on Sankirtan. He said, it doesn't matter, even if you have to lock the door of the temple, and everyone can go on Sankirtan. Because practically in this age, it will become more and more difficult to do deity worship. And therefore, it is very nice that you have kept your deity worship simple. It is not that it is not opulent. It is very perfectly done. But it is just in the right perspective. That we don't get so carried away that we lose sight of what the primary sacrifice for this age is. Harinam Sankirtan. So, it is the most auspicious activity in the entire universe, Sukadev Goswami says. And you can, there's so many activities. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. Amongst the good activities, they're called sobhagya, auspicious. But amongst all of these, Sankirtan Yajna is the best. Why? Because it, here it is mentioned, it is able to uproot even the reactions of the greatest sins. What is the greatest sins? Killing of cows, killing of Brahmins, destroying of temples. But yet, if someone chants, Haridas Thakur says, that if someone chants the holy name of the Lord continuously, he can get overcome even the worst of grievous sins. Such is the power of the holy name of the Lord. It is so effective. So, these books are nothing but the holy names of the Lord. Just like you saw in the paragraph we were reading, how many times the word Krishna appears? Huh? On this page, We can see once Krishna, two Krishna, three Krishna, four Krishna. Within four sentences, Krishna's name is four times here. Srila Prabhupada said, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to check to see how good a book was by seeing how many times the holy name appeared. And actually, these books are simply glorification of Krishna's holy name. So, this is Nam Sankirtan, in its highest form, transcendental book distribution. So, Yamaraj has got a very thankless task. He has to hear the stories of one sinner after another. Just like we want to get sadhu sangha. What does he get? Asadhu sangha. He gets the association of so many asatsangis, impure associates. One after another, they're paraded in. Can you imagine what it is like? Of course, you can imagine, because we are also doing that. On Sankirtan, you are all like miniature Yamarajas, and you are also having to watch the parade of one sinful person after another. But I think that you have got more fortunate position because of your associate, because of your connection with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because when Yamaraj sees a sinner, what does he do? You know, this hell, send him to this hell, send him to that hell, right? All the different, you know, all the hells. Torture him in this way, make him eat his own flesh, stretch him on a, you know, wheel so that you churn out his juices like sugar cane. You have seen the pictures of the hellish planets. And Yamaraj just deals one after another, and he sits there in the courtroom. Maybe there's a picture. There is a picture in the new book, right? You saw it? He's sitting there like this, and he's, you know, sitting there. And you can see he cannot be sentimental, because you can imagine what the conditioned souls do when they come in front of him. They start screaming and begging and pleading, please, please, I promise, I promise. And he just has to sit there, and he listens to Chitragupta. Chitragupta is the scribe who has got the records of each and every sin that every conditioned soul has committed. And Chitragupta just reads, and Yamaraj has to keep himself very, very uninvolved emotionally. He cannot allow his emotions to get out of control, and he just hears, and then he orders, "Put this is the reaction for this. Send him to such and such hell, you know, for 20,000 years, you know, like this." Of course, those years may go quickly, but in the subtle time frame, it seems like 20,000 years, and squeeze him to death again and again. Throw him onto the burning form of the opposite sex and let him embrace that burning form again and again. Cook him in boiling oil. Do this, you know, it goes on and on. But we don't do like this, because we have got connection with Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya showed what his mood was in dealing with Jagai and Madai. He did not kill them. He did not torture them. He did not punish them. He gave them mercy. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as Odarya. His mood is Odarya. What does that mean? Compassion. Compassion. This is the main quality by which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is seen. Odarya. His lila is called Odarya lila. His dham is called Odarya dham. It is that place where there is unlimited mercy and compassion flowing. And so the Sankirtan devotee, because of that, when he meets the sinners, he does not judge them and send them to hell, but rather he gives them an opportunity by which all of their sins can become uprooted. The beginning is that they take a transcendental book and give some of their Lakshmi. And this is the beginning of their spiritual life. So, when Yamaraj was sitting and judging, suddenly his messengers rushed in. The Yamadutas rushed into the court and said, "My lord, something horrible, something strange and unusual has happened. We were meant to bring you the greatest of sinners by the name of Ajamil, and we were stopped by the order carriers of Narayan." And when Yamaraj heard this sound coming from the name of these horrible characters, these Yamadutas are very, very hard-looking. You see, you can understand who they are, just like we were asked the other day and we explained, that in a prison, sometimes if some prisoners are showing that they are in good conduct, they become assistants to the warden. They are themselves prisoners, but they become assistants for some time. Just like you have seen in this new book, you'll see Yamaraj sitting there, and then around him are some nice-looking persons, and then there are some horrible-looking persons. Right? So the nice-looking persons are just like the wardens. They're not in prison. And the horrible-looking person are themselves prisoners who have been elevated to being Yamadutas for their good conduct. And what is their... The only difference is that instead of suffering the pain, they inflict the pain. But still, it's a horrible, you know, it's still a gruesome situation, but not as bad as having the pain inflicted upon themselves. So, they uttered the name of Narayan. And he became very pleased. We also become very pleased when we go out on Sankirtan. When someone takes a book, we become so much pleased with them. And if they take more than one book, we still become more pleased. And if they also say something pleasing about the books, oh, this is a very nice book. So, or I met one of you people last year and I also took books, and they start to glorify the devotees like this. We become still more pleased. And if they say Hare Krishna, you know, our body breaks out in goosebumps. We become so pleased that here is such a sinful rascal who is chanting Krishna's holy name. So surely this is because of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu upon such persons and Nityananda Prabhu. So now the Yamadutas want to know, so what is the truth? We always used to think that you were the supreme, but now we have seen that someone was able to check your order, because your order was, bring all sinners to me. And we had the best of sinners in our grip, and yet we could not bring him. Therefore, we think that there is someone who is even more superior than you. Is it so? And immediately Yamaraj, who is the truth personified, immediately he said, yes, it is so. And then he uttered this verse, that I am not the supreme. You have accepted me in this way, but you are wrong. So many times we see these days bogus persons who allow themselves to be called God. And they are big rascals. Their followers call them God, and they don't protest. Sometimes their followers say, well, he didn't say he was God, but he allowed his followers to call him God, therefore it's just as good as telling that he is God. So this is all, you can see how rascal they are, and how, as compared with Yamaraj. Immediately he clears up the point, no, I am not the supreme. Then who is the supreme? The supreme is the original personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. But nobody knows so well about his supremacy. There is a nice verse in the Gita that explains, Name vidu suru gana prabhavam nama maharishaya aham adyudhi devanam maharshinam chasarvashaha. That the rishis and the demigods, they don't actually understand my position, because I am the source of these rishis and demigods. In other words, we see that the Supreme Lord is described, Aham sarvasa pravavo matta sarvam pravartate. Everything is coming from him. So because everything is coming from him, even great sages and demigods may not fully understand his position. What to speak of we. But by the grace of the Supreme Lord, it may be something may be able to be understood about him. Generally, Krishna is not easily understood, because you see, even in India, where most people are God conscious, they cannot understand that Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadir Ardir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. They don't understand this. How Krishna is Sarvakarana Karanam, the cause of all causes. Here in this verse it is mentioned that the Supreme Lord is like the two threads that form the length and breadth of a woven cloth. The entire world is controlled by him, just as a bull is controlled by a rope in its nose. So everything in existence is nothing but the Supreme Lord. Ekopya shoda hi chahitam jagadandakotam yat chaktirasti jagadandachayat yarantaha andantarashta paramanu chayantarashtam govindamadi purusham tamaham vajami. Everything in existence is nothing but the Supreme Lord. There is no difference between the potency and the potent source. The same thing is there in the original Chaturshloki verse of the Bhagavatam. Aham evasham evagre. This verse describes how everything in existence is coming from the Supreme Lord. And it is not different than the Supreme Lord. Again, in the Bhagavad Gita, we see the same thing. I am everything, and yet everything is not me. So, this philosophy is a little difficult to understand. People understand it in one or the other way. They either understand everything is God, or they understand nothing is God. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has combined the 2 points into what is known as Achinta Veda Veda Tattva. Achinta Veda Aved Tattva means everything is simultaneously one and different from the Lord. Everything is the energy of God. In that sense, everything is God. And yet, because He is the source of the energy, everything is not Him. He remains a Supreme Person. So that Supreme Personality of Godhead is not difficult, is not easy to understand. He may be understood in some small way, but as it is mentioned here, even the demigods, the host of demigods, cannot understand him. Even great sages cannot understand him. Why? Because to understand him is not a result of simply intellectual endeavors. Krishna cannot be understood, God cannot be understood simply by using your big intellect. Otherwise, great sages could understand him, but it says they cannot. Neither can he be understood by some powerful yogis. But only, he says, can I be understood by bhakti. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvataha. Only by devotion can I be understood in truth. But even by devotion, it is not possible to fully understand Krishna. Why? Because it requires a special type of bhakti. If you do bhakti, you may understand Narayan. You may understand Vishnu. But Krishna is something more difficult to understand. Narayan means the form of God who is all-powerful. God is great. That conception is common to all religions. But the idea of God as a supreme, lovable person who plays upon a flute, who has wonderful devotees, cowherd boys and cowherd girls who are always surrounding him and playing with him, this conception cannot be easily understood. It can only be understood if one has some connection with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is especially the purpose of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's coming to reveal God as a beautiful cowherd boy playing on a flute surrounded by his loving devotees. This is especially the inner reason for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's coming. He came to spread Nam Sankirtan, but not just any Nam Sankirtan, not just any name. Haridas Thakur says not all names have got the same effect. Most people cannot say the name of God. Maybe they say God or Father, God the Father, but that is not a name, that is only the title of a position. Or we see even in some scriptures, they don't want to say the name of God. The Jews don't utter the name of God. Even the Christians don't utter the name of God, because coming from the Jewish tradition, Christianity was born out of the Jewish tradition. And since the Jews didn't want to utter the name of God, saying that it was too sacred, it should not be said, and they had this concept that God God should be feared, and therefore they didn't utter his name. And so the Christians inherited that same conception to some degree, and they created names which are not actual names of God. Even in the Bible it is admitted that the name of Jehovah is not there in any original text, Jewish text, but it was a name created because of its semblance. It resembles the name of God, but it's not the name of God. So they don't get the benefit of chanting the name of God. Text, but it was a name created because of its semblance. It resembles the name of God, but it's not the name of God. So they don't get the benefit of chanting the name of God. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to spread Nam Sankirtan, he has come to spread what? The primary names of God. Primary names mean those names which describe Krishna in relationship to his pure devotees. Yasoda Nandana, Nanda Nandana, Govinda, Gopala, Radha Ramana, Radha Madhava, Krishna Balaram. These are the names which Mahaprabhu loved to chant and hear, because they remind us of the original personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Krishna is never alone. Krishna is always with his pure devotees, his eternal associates, whose loving mood is not to be found in any other, with any other form of God. The way in which the residents of Vrindavan love Krishna cannot be found anywhere else, neither in Mathura, not in Dwarka, not in Ayodhya, and certainly not in Vaikuntha. Nowhere else do we find that God is loved so much so that those who are his associates do not fear him at all. Now, when someone is greater than you, there is some fear. That is why in the relationship between guru and disciple, there is always some element of fear. Fear because there is so much respect. But in Vrindavan, there's nothing like this. Then what to speak of fear? Mother Yasoda is shaking her finger at Krishna, and Krishna fears her. The cowherd boys start to say to Krishna, "Well, are you ready to wrestle today? I defeated you yesterday. Are you going to get defeated again by me today?" And the gopis just look at Krishna and say, "You are a weakling. We know very well that they defeated you in wrestling yesterday." And even Radharani sometimes prepares to wrestle with Krishna, being quite certain that we will defeat you. And if I can't alone, others will help me. So everybody is in this mood in Krishna's village of Vrindavan. They just love Krishna with so much loving affection because of his sweetness. They have no conception God is great. They don't think Krishna is God. They don't think like this, because as soon as you think Krishna is God, or as soon as you think God, then you start to have some fear. So much respect comes in your mind or heart. And that respect diminishes, minimizes, makes small the love. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to teach the chanting of the names of Krishna with this type of mood, free of all fear, free of all awe, free of all reverence. But in order to come to that position, you have to begin from the right position. What is that? With respect and awe and reverence. And therefore, before we worship Krishna, we have to first of all learn how to worship Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is worshipped with such awe and reverence, because all of the followers of Lord Chaitanya, all his associates, had the mood to him as servant to master. Even those who were his elders saw him that way. Advaita Acharya, Srivas Thakur, Haridas Thakur, they were all senior to him in terms of their age, but not in their mood. They saw him as their master, as their lord, and they saw themselves as his servant. So this is the proper way to begin our worship. And this is appropriate, because now if we try to imitate the loving mood that the residents of Vrindavan have for Krishna, we will simply commit offenses, because we have no such qualification at this time. Now, when our minds are racing on so many subjects, when our hearts are still full of so many material desires, there is no question of addressing Krishna in the way in which the residents of Vrindavan do so. They are completely pure. They are completely spiritual. So to bring us to that level of devotion, we must first worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is what the Goswamis taught. This is how Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Sanatana, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, and the other Goswamis, this is how they taught. This is what Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami has taught in Chaitanya Chaitamrita and our whole Guru Parampara. If we nicely worship Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu, as we are doing, both in the deity form and in the form of Sankirtan Yajna, then they will shower their mercy upon us. And what will that mercy be? They'll purify our hearts of all sins. A devotee is not afraid that he will be going to Yama's court. A devotee will not go to Yamaraj's court. If by some chance we do not go back to Godhead in one lifetime, then we will get chance to take another birth. Bhagavad Gita says, Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Joga Vrashtavi Jayate Atava Yoginam Eva Kule Bhavati Dimatam. They take their birth in a rich man's family, or a pious family, or in a great transcendentalist family. Not that they take their birth in hell. So, even if for some chance we cannot finish up Krishna consciousness in one lifetime, still, Lord Chaitanya will be very merciful, and we will begin where we left off in our next lifetime, wherever we left off. So, Mahaprabhu, by performance of Sankirtan, will bring us to this point. Now, I think that we are worshipping him in the proper way through Sankirtan, through book distribution. It is not that we are simply going to worship him in some sentimental way. Sometimes we see devotees like to have their Prabhupada reunions and to tell many nice stories about Srila Prabhupada and to remember Prabhupada, and so many people come who out of the woodwork, you know, who have not been seen for many, many years. But I think that the best reunion is going on here every day. I think this is actually the real worship of Srila Prabhupada. This going out on book distribution is actually keeping Prabhupada alive. You know, to reunite and to remember Prabhupada is very good. And it is especially good for those who have forgotten him. But actually, I think that the best remembrance of Prabhupada is going on where Prabhupada's orders are the life and soul of the devotees. And especially we see that where those devotees are absorbed in making and distributing Prabhupada's books. So this will gain us Srila Prabhupada's favor, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's favor, and thereby it will be easy to satisfy Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Mahaprabhu is satisfied, then you will be able to one day say, Krishna, are you ready to wrestle? Or, Krishna, if you are not a good boy, we will tell Mother Yasoda on you. Then you will be able to speak in this way, and it will not be sahajiya. It will not be a false thing, but your heart will be pure, and you will have love in your heart for the divine couple, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Sankirtan Yajna Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Sankirtan Marathon Ki Jai. Sankirtan Devotees Ki Jai. Go pray Manandi Hari Hari Bo. So we'll stop here, and if anyone has any questions, they can ask Mataji. There are so many other possibilities. Vishnu Dutas, Yama Dutas, but we don't want Vishnu Dutas or Yama Dutas. I think we don't want... Vishnu Dutas will take you to Vaikuntha, but I don't think we want to go to Vaikuntha. We want to go to be with the associates of Lord Chaitanya, and we want to be with the associates of Radha and Krishna. So for such destination, we depend upon their mercy that immediately after this lifetime, if we become pure, we shall find ourselves taking birth in Krishna's pastimes. Not that we want to get on some big flower airplane and go up to Vaikuntha. Do you want to go to Vaikuntha? No. So then, don't look for Vishnu Dutas, and don't worry about Yama Dutas. You just remember your Guru Maharaj, remember Srila Prabhupada, remember Lord Chaitanya Nityananda Prabhu's lotus feet, remember all the ISKCON devotees, remember Radha and Krishna and all their associates, and everything will be done. No need of Yama Dutas or Vishnu Dutas. We don't want to go to Vaikuntha. Lord Chaitanya didn't come to give Vaikuntha liberation. For sure he did not come for that. That was done so many times by other avatars. He came for something much sweeter than that. Another question? Yes. Naveen has asked the question, does the relationship between guru-disciple always remain as master to servant with some on reverence? It always remains like that in this lifetime. One day, if we become so qualified that we can enter into the eternal pastimes of the Lord, then we will be there with our spiritual master. And at that time, there will be no more on reverence. Then it will be simply with great friendship. Still, we will see this person is like friendly guru. Instead of master guru, it will be friendly guru. Guru will be there, but not in this form as we see him now. Not in this shape as we see him now. And the mood will be as friends, instead of master and servant. But still, he will be the well-wisher, and we will be the recipient of his mercy. But the mood will change after liberation, not in this world. So we should always maintain the respectful attitude and never become familiar with the guru. As soon as we do that, we will be likely to commit offenses. And if the spiritual master deals with us affectionately, we should understand just like a father dealing with the child affectionately. That is his kindness and mercy. But we should never suddenly think, now he has become like my equal. Mood of worshipping Lord Jagannath. Or Lord Chaitanya. When he entered the temple of Lord Jagannath. How did he see Jagannath? Who is Lord Jagannath? Which Krishna? Where? Okay, that's very good. Because Jagannath is Vasudev Krishna. He is Krishna in Dwarka. Like Dwarka. Puri is in the mood of Dwarka, or opulence. But did Lord Chaitanya see like that? No. When he saw Jagannath, he saw Govinda playing on his flute. So he was fixed in the mood of the gopis, and especially Srimati Radharani's vision of Krishna. He could only see and only wanted to see Krishna like that. So we should see Jagannath as Lord Chaitanya saw him, as Govinda. Otherwise, you may go to Dwarka and become a Dwarkavasi. But therefore we take him on Rathayatra, and we, like the gopis said, this Jagannath, Dwarkanath, came with Balaram and Subhadra to Kurukshetra. And the gopis met him there. And what did they say? You are the same Krishna. And we are the same gopis. But this place is not right. And because the place is different, and it creates a different mood, we want to take you back to Vrindavan. So they can only see Krishna in that mood, not in the mood of four-handed Vasudev, with club and disc and all of these weapons. They want to see him holding a flute. Does that help you to understand? Okay. This is a good point. We should, the residents of Vrindavan actually are savagyan. They understand, they have all knowledge. But by the arrangement of yogamaya, they are mugdata. They forget everything. And Krishna is also that way. Krishna knows everything about everything. But by the arrangement of yogamaya, Krishna knows nothing. Krishna is sitting there in front of Yasoda, shaking out of fear. Now, someone knows everything, why should he be fearful? If Krishna knew that actually I'm the Lord of all the universes, what can this little stick of Yasoda Devi do to me? But he didn't think that way, and it wasn't as if he was acting. He actually didn't know it. So although he may be, you know, Sarvagya, he may know everything, and he may be Param Ishvara, the Supreme Controller, and he is Ekale Ishvara Krishna Ara Sarvabhrita Yare Yache Nache Se Tache Kare Niche. Everyone is the servant of Krishna, but Krishna doesn't think like that in Vrindavan. He does think like that perhaps in Dwarka, or he does think like that in Vaikuntha, but when he's in Vrindavan, he doesn't think that way. So, this is effect of yogamaya, that the gopis may know sometimes, as you see in Bhagavatam, 10th canto, but they immediately forget. Like Mother Yasoda, she says, Krishna, open your mouth. We have heard that you are eating dirt. Even your brother has said so. So Krishna opens his mouth, and Mother Yasoda sees the whole universe. She sees everything coming from Krishna. And at that moment, she understands so many things. And then what happens? She thinks, I must have a fever. This must be the result of a fever condition. And then she, you know, says some mantras to clear her mind. And then again she sees her little Krishna. So this is yogamaya. Oh, yes. Everyone is under the influence of yogamaya in Vrindavan. Yogamaya is the Shakti of Krishna. She is Krishna's Shakti. She is an expansion of Radharani. Radharani is the original Shakti of all Shaktis. And Yogamaya is one part of her. Yes, she is more powerful than Krishna by Krishna's agreement to allow her to be so. Krishna agrees, just like who is stronger, Prabhupada, this question was asked, who is stronger, Krishna or Balaram? You have all been to Vrindavan, you have seen Krishna and Balaram. Who is stronger, Krishna or Balaram? Why? Why is Krishna stronger? Because Balaram has to take to rest his arm on Krishna's shoulder. That proves that Krishna is stronger. He can support Balaram. But now who is stronger, Krishna or Radharani? Certainly, Radharani is stronger than Krishna. Because Krishna is Madan Mohan, but Radharani is Madan Mohan Mohini. She bewilders Krishna more than Krishna can bewilder her. If Krishna is not stronger than Radharani, then why does he want to take her position? And he comes as Lord Chaitanya. Because Radharani is certainly superior than Krishna. Now, nobody can be superior than Krishna because he's Param Ishvara. He's the source of all strength. And yet, by his arrangement, his Shakti is more powerful than him. So, because it is difficult to accept or understand this, this was the problem of Jayadev Goswami. Jayadev Goswami was writing Gita Govinda, and at one point he came to the point where he was describing how Radharani becomes angry, and in order to remove Radharani's anger, Krishna has to bow down to her, and his pen could not move. He could not write this, because he was in the mood that no one is superior than Krishna. So he could not write this verse of Gita Govinda. Then he went to take his bath, you know this story, and at that time, Krishna came disguised in a form of a second Jayadev, and he came to Jayadev's door, knocked on the door, and Jayadev's wife opened the door. And he said, now I have come back, bring me my manuscript. And with his own hand, he wrote in the finishing part of the verse. Then he went out. And again, in a few minutes, Jayadev came back, the original Jayadev. And his wife said, you're coming, going, coming, and going. He said, no, I'm not coming and going. What do you mean? She said, yes, you came in here, and you asked for your manuscript. So he said, let me see that manuscript. And then he saw that verse which he himself had not dared to write. And it was written in such a beautiful characters, and so nicely, in which it describes how Krishna bows his head to the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. And then he began to cry, understanding that Krishna had personally come and written this verse. So it is not easy for someone to understand that there can be somebody greater than God. But actually there is someone greater than God, and that is the devotee of God. And which devotee especially? Srimati Radharani. So unless one is blessed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and understands Lord Chaitanya's philosophy, they cannot understand this idea. Is it clear? So we should stop here now, and today is officially the first day of the marathon, or perhaps yesterday. Yesterday. So today is day two. So everyone should now get focused for distributing hundreds and hundreds of transcendental bombs. You can devastate the city and nearby surrounding places with these transcendental spiritual bombs, and we will destroy Maya's fortress, Kali's fortress. Jai Sankirtan Yagna Ki.